Blog Talk Radio.
Well done.
Praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I am truly honored in the name of Jesus to be before you live on this evening. The ultimate, wonderful word and speaking of the Godhead through the Bible series study that we're doing here with Miami and Hope and Deliverance, where hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. I am your pastor, David A. Shaw, of Mighty Men of Hope and Deliverance. And praise God, we're truly thankful in the name of Jesus that we have another day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Before we go any further, I would like to first and foremost want to give all honor to God in the name of Jesus to my wife, my first lady, Diane Shaw, and to our overseer, Bishop Joel David Trout, out of Atlanta, Georgia, harvest time, in the name of Jesus. We thank God in the name of Jesus for being able to come with the powerful, anointed teaching of that pertaining to the Godhead in Jesus' name. We are so wonderfully blessed to have the Word of God for us on today. All those that are listening by way of Twitter, Instagram, bless you on this evening. And then if you were to venture off into the archives, eventually we know that you as well will be blessed equally as well in Jesus' name. We here at 901 North 5th Street, Springfield, Illinois, if you decide to support our ministry with the love token of any size, of any type, we appreciate your help and help keeping us airing in the name of Jesus. We thank God once again for being before you on today. And as we always mention, we do quite a few things here with Pastor Shaw and Lady Diane Shaw Ministry and Friends. We actually take and we do a lot of ministry associated with our prayer. We do prayer every Monday through Friday prayer, where we actually open up the lines when you call in the name of Jesus, and we pray for each person that comes forth on the line, those that we pray for, our communities, our cities, our state, our government. We pray for our family members. We pray for those that are homeless and hungry, sick or dying in a hospital. We pray for all those that are in need, incarcerated, and so on. We just come together corporately and pray for each person, situation that we have mind to pray for. Well, come forth with that prayer in the Pacific time at 7 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. It's a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Mountain time. And in a Central Standard Time, it's at 9 to 9:30 a.m. And Eastern time, that's from 10 to 10:30 a.m. The Word of God says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that man ought to always pray and not cease in the name of Jesus. We thank God for His Word. And if you choose to call in at any time, the number is 774-220-4000. Again, that number is 774-220-4000. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, and thank you, God, for allowing us to come before you on this day. Before we go further, let us have a moment of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we come before you on this day, again, we come humbly before you on this day, O God, to pray, acknowledging you for being the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the Master of this universe. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, just want to say thank you for your grace and your mercy, and thank you for your love that was shed on Calvary. Thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. Oh God, we just pray your anointing just rain down on this evening, God. We pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, your spirit just flows through the airwaves, and Father God, touches somebody's heart, oh God, in the name of Jesus, as understanding is filled through your word, oh God, in Jesus' name. Oh, Father God, just have your way on this evening. Oh God, just let your spirit rain down in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah and amen. And amen. We truly thank God again on today, and I also want to go out and acknowledge, I love my wife very much. That's Lady Diane Shaw. She's on the road right now, off to visit our mother in the name of Jesus. And we pray in the name of Jesus that she has safe travels in the name of Jesus. And we pray in the name of Jesus for our brother who has just gotten out of the hospital, praise God, for a mild scare with his diabetes in the name of Jesus. But we thank God that he's on a fast recovery. He's been released from the hospital. We thank God for that as well. We also acknowledge Sister Jan in the name of Jesus to the ministry at Monument of Hope and Deliverance. We also acknowledge our brother Reggie in Jesus' name for his commitment to the ministry at Monument of Hope and Deliverance in Jesus' name. It's Sister Deborah, and there's many others whom we acknowledge in the name of Jesus, especially he of our overseer, Bishop Joel David Trout. We do thank God for all of our members and all of those who have come collectively to hear the word of God and to continue to support us. We thank God for you. May you be blessed richly in Jesus' name. As I always said, if loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right in Jesus' name. I thank God for today, and I thank God for my wife, Lady Diane Shaw. She is an awesome woman of God, and I thank God and truly am blessed that she is in my life. Praise God. As we move forward, we come forth with the reading and understanding about the Godhead. Praise God. This is the Bible series that we continue to bring forth in Jesus' name. And we do acknowledge, praise God, that it's a very powerful anointed message and reading. And when we begin here, we come with understanding first as we introduce to you Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy in the Word of God. It says the book of Deuteronomy does offer great riches of wisdom to strengthen and sustain our faith. You know, it's very important to understand. It's striking that the situations that we have here are all three of Jesus' quotes from scriptures as he resists the temptation of Satan that came from Deuteronomy. We read in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, and Luke chapter 4, verse 8, and Luke chapter 4, verse 12, in the name of Jesus. As we slow it down, let's take a look at Luke chapter 4, verse 4, in the name of Jesus. That's Luke, the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, chapter 4, verse 4, in the name of Jesus. And the Word of God says, in Luke, chapter 4, verse 4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, this is after Jesus had been tempted by the devil, by the enemy, by Satan, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then as we look at verse 8, it's another temptation that the enemy brings upon Jesus as he comes down off of the mount, out of the wilderness. He says, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the conclusion of the temptations in the name of Jesus, we look at verse 12, and the Word of God says that, and Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then mentioned in retaliation to Satan's temptation to Jesus were words that were spoken from the book of God, from the Word of God. A book so significant in the life of our Lord must have much to say to us as well. We have to recognize the Word of God. Just as the book and the Word of Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. It is an appropriate title, see, because that it is what the book of Deuteronomy is. The Ten Commandments were given at Mount Sinai 40 years earlier. Now, look, in Deuteronomy, Moses repeats the Ten Commandments, reminding the nation of Israel about the circumstances under which they were given, explaining again what they mean. So the difference between the first and the second giving of the law is striking. It was striking for the first time. Israel had just been delivered from slavery in Egypt. They hardly knew God at all. They hardly knew him. And Moses was their new leader. Now, they have had 40 years of experience following God under Moses' direction. Moses, just him. The first time the law was given, they were merely a collection of slaves who had just fled from Pharaoh. They were terrified of the people whose land they were about to invade. Now, they were an ununified nation, very unorganized, very ununified, very unified nation. And they experienced their abilities in combat. And they were able to overcome a lot of situations because of their abilities to be unified as a nation. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is divided into four sections now. Understanding in the first three sections, Moses reminds the nation of what they need to know before they march into the land. Now, we look at these scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses rehearses their history. And when we look at the second section of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 44, and chapter 27, verse 68, it contains the Ten Commandments and the covenant comments that has commitments to God Israel have made to each other. Now, in the third section, Moses addresses the circumstances of the unfaithfulness to the law and the issues to call and determine the heartfelt commitment of, to God. The final section in verse 29-34 records Moses' goodbyes, inspiration, and acknowledgement of where he was going and what was going to happen at the time that were appropriate for him to give. And as we see, Moses was laying down his burden of leadership and turning it to Joshua. For 40 years, he had led the nation. 40 years. Now, how hard it must have been for him to let go. Just him. In control only by the leadership of what God was the only one that was over him. Passion. Moses speaks from his heart. And it's here where you can feel his aching desires to make sure that he had done everything possible to get his people ready for the blessings and challenges of life in the promised land. As a leader, his responsibility was to prepare them. And so he's done everything that he could to let them know what's needed before they go into the promised land. As we read the words of Moses in Deuteronomy, there's much we can learn about how learning about the people and the way they responded to certain things and how we see people acting about God today. Throughout this book, Moses issues a call that rings down the centuries, through the Old Testament to the New Testament. And he lets us know to love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength.
something that we need to hear again and again and again and again and again. It's so very important, friend, that there is to understand that there is only one true God, the Father. Here it's over and over, both the Old and the New Testament emphasize that there is only one true God. This doctrine, which has always been fundamental to Israel's faith, is summed up in the Shema, which literally means hear, H-E-A-R, hear, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which is the beginning of the Shema. As we look at Deuteronomy, let's take a look and see precisely in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, again it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. And that's out of the New King James Version that we read that translation. In the scriptures above, the word translated our God is the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohimu. Scholars have long assumed that Elohimu is plural form of the Hebrew word Elohim. Because of this assumption, theologians have concluded that the Israelites understood that triune nature of God. Terians believe, look, that this verse means that God is one being composed of three distinct but inseparable persons, the Father, one, the Son, two, and Holy Spirit, three. Venetarians also believe that Elohimu indicates the plurality, although they believe that God is one family, currently composed of the Father and of the Son. However, both Elohimu and Elohim are derivatives of the singular Eloah, which is one of the Hebrew names for God the Father, the Most High God. We turn to Proverbs. Praise God. Chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 4 and verse 5. And the word of God says, who has ascended up into the heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Amen. He is a shield. Now understand, we're talking about the Godhead here. We're talking about who Jesus is to us. And as we recognize, praise God, Elohim is plural. Amen. And the derivative of soul, while Elohimu, the term found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, is a singular variation of Eloah. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, the wind in his fist, who has bound the waters in a garment, who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is his son's name? If you know. Verse 5, every word of God, Elohim, is pure. He is a shield to those destined to revealing one of the Hebrew names for the Most High God. The passage above shows that God's status as Father and the fact that he had a special son was recognized by the Israelites. This is contrary to Herbert W. Armstrong's tradition that the only member of the Godhead known that ancient Israel is and was the Logos, who became Yahshua, the Messiah. As we turn to Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. Again, that's Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. And the word of God says, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Who do you deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Malachi chapter 2 verse 10 also showed that God's status as Father was known. Malachi chapter 2 verse 10 also shared, we have not all one Father. Has not one God created us? But how do we know that the Trinitarian theologians were wrong? How do we know that the Hebrew word Elohim is singular? One of the most basic methods available for understanding the scripture is simply letting the Bible interpret itself. A comparison of the Greek text found in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, with the Hebrew text of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, provides the evidence that Elohim is singular and not plural. Let's look at Mark chapter 12, verse 29. In response to the scribe question about the commandment, what's the most important of all? The Messiah repeats the Shema. Jesus answered him in Mark chapter 12, verse 29. The first of all, the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Theos, the Lord is one. Commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Greek word translated God in the verse is Theos. And according to the New Analytical Greek Lexicon, this noun is singular, nominative case. Theos in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, directly corresponds to Elohim in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Because the Greek equivalent, Theos, is singular, the word Elohim must always be singular, or these scriptures contradict one another. When one, you let clarify itself, it's apparent for the Greek text of Mark chapter 12, verse 29, that there is only one God. There is only one God. Again, I'm your host, Pastor David A. Shaw of Monument of Hope, and deliver to you about the Godhead, which is a Bible study series that we're speaking on to get a clear, in-depth understanding that Jesus is God in the flesh. And as we always acknowledge the importance of understanding our salvation, there's times when we get down and discouraged, but there comes times when there's no one else around and there's nothing else around, but we have to learn in the name of Jesus to encourage ourselves. So as we come back, just keep in mind, encourage yourself in the Lord. We'll be right back. courage over yourself. Encourage yourself.
How many people encourage tonight?
The Lord, in the name of Jesus. You've got to be encouraged. In the name of Jesus. And trust in the Lord. No matter what situation it is that we go through, no matter how it is that we've gone through it, so long as we keep ourselves focused on the prize, looking to the hills which cometh our help, as our help cometh from the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. I am your host, Pastor David Shaw of Mighty Men of Hope and Deliverance. For those who have just joined us just now, we are talking on the Godhead, and it's the Bible study series that we here at Mighty Men of Hope and Deliverance are teaching throughout the course of a series of meetings that we're having, and sharing their explanation with you. And we thank God for the opportunity to share this information about the Godhead according to what the Word of God says. We just left off, praise God, speaking on there is only one God, reading on the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 29. And we mentioned, praise God, in Mark chapter 12, verse 32, that the Word of God says, and the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. So the scribe said to him, you have spoken the truth. There is but one God. And the Greek word translated other in verse 32 as eidos binds complete expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words. Bind says that expresses the numeral differences and denotes another of the same sort. There's no other like God. He alone is immortal, having existed from eternity. When we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, let us go there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. And the Word of God says, only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let us read that again. Who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Amen. Everlasting power in that light. The only one God, the only one true God. There's no other God like him. He alone is immortal, having existed from eternity, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. But in Mark chapter 12, verse 34, Yahshua commands the scribes for having answered wisely. All indications from the text are that he agreed totally with what the scribes had said. Messiah called the Father the only true God in John 17 and 3, and distinguished himself from him. But in John chapter 17, verse 3, Yahshua said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you and the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus objected when the ruler called him good. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, as well as chapter 10 of the book of Mark, verse 18, and in Luke chapter 18, verse 19. Let us go to Mark chapter 10, verse 18, as we read. In Mark chapter 10, verse 18, the word of God said, "He said unto him, Who callest thou me good? There is none good but one. There is God. That is God. That is God. In the name of Jesus. No one good but one, and that one is God." When we look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, and these are all scriptures that are supporting Jesus being the Godhead and understanding that Jesus is God in the flesh. And we say in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, and the word of God says, that, "And he said unto him, Who callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment." Now these sayings are all sayings of different accounts of those that were following Jesus at the time. We have the account from Mark. We have the account from Matthew. Now we're going to the physician, and that's Luke. Luke, very specific, but very detailed in his explanations of what he had seen. So as we journey to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 19, we read the version of what he had written down. Chapter 18, verse 19. "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God." Saying that there is only one who was good, that's God, John and Paul also made a distinction between the two. But understanding the explanations between the three explanations that were given, the one true God and his son, Yahshua, the Messiah, as shown in the following scriptures. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 says, "We know too that the Son of God has come and has given us the power to know the true God. We are in the true God as we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is eternal life." This is out of Jerusalem Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, the word of God says, "We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one." Verse 5. "For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords. Verse 6, let for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we live. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. As we read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, let us go there. The Word of God says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You see, along with Paul, James also states that there is one God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 30, that's Romans chapter 3, verse 30, the Word of God says that here, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision, seeing there is one God which shall be justified by circumcision, by faith and uncircumcision through faith. In James chapter 2, James chapter 2, verse 19, as we go there, the Word of God reads that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And that's out of the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19. When we read the Word of God, we clearly see to this point, through the explanation of the Godhead, that Jesus Christ is God. And we recognize, praise God, through Scripture, the Holy Spirit, God, Father, and God the Son, all are one God. The divisions that we've seen throughout others explanations are not inherent to the importance of what Bible scripture has just stated as for Christ being one God, being God all by himself. Jesus Christ is known for being God in the flesh, and we have to acknowledge that and believe that as Christians, understandably speaking, that the Godhead is that of God being in control. Again, I am your host, Pastor David Shaw, as we go through our study on the Godhead in the Bible series. We will render the opportunity to open up the mic for anyone that may have a comment on this evening's show. And I see you out there, 217. God bless you. Welcome in. Your mic is open.
Amen. Amen, Pastor Sean. How are you?
Praise God, wife. How are you?
Husband, I'm just really enjoying that study of the Godhead. Wow, I just, you know, while I've been driving, I've just been eating at the table with you as you've been breaking bread. And it's such clarity as you bring out the scriptures and elaborate. And I'm really enjoying it. And I really thank you for being on your post and just blessing the people of God with this teaching of the Godhead, something that you don't hear much of, but I'm so appreciative to you. And just want to let you know I love you so much. And I thank God for you and your prayers. And I want to thank God's people for supporting Diane Grim. No, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Diane Shaw, Pastor and Diane Shaw, Ministry and Friends. Amen. As I do that shift with the name, sometimes it gets hard. So be patient with me. Praise God. But
amen.
I thank God I'm already shifted in the spirit and locked into that. As a rib to my baby and to his rib cage. So thank you so much. I won't say any more because I am driving. Just want to let you know I love you and appreciate you.
Well, we truly thank you, wife, for that acknowledgement. I'm always count on nobody else or anything else. I can always count on my wife to have my back. And I truly
Absolutely.
Thank God for you. And I do love you very much and I want the world to know I love Diane Shaw in the name of Jesus. And amen. And what's awesome about it, praise God, if you allow me to say, is that my enlightenment, my eyes are opening up so much in this study on the Godhead that it's really awesome, you know, because it's not as though I've been blind, allow me to see with wider vision the trueness of the oneness of God. And, and understanding that God, you know, had to do what he had to do for a reason so the people could recognize visually what it was that his purpose to bring man back into his righteousness. And what I recognized, praise God, there was a reason why he had come to perform in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, who was going to believe him? That he was God. And
Absolutely.
So I recognize that's why God and the Spirit had to come down and put himself into flesh and be
Ain't that
crucified
amazing?
To overcome and conquer death, go get the keys to hell and rise up and take his rightful place in heaven in the name of Jesus, where he still, after his death and resurrection, was seen by over, 144,000, I believe, or something along those lines, and we just thank God for his commitment to what he's done for us, and I mean, I'm taken by storm. I'm really so honored to be a man of God and then being called by him to do his will and do his way. Amen.
Yeah. You know, you said it's not that your eyes have not been opened, and what it is in the Word is he takes us from revelation to revelation, and God is, the Word is a living Word, so it's alive, and there's a certain time in each one of our life in the journey, God said, okay, I think you're ready for a little bit more and a little bit.
Amen, amen. And we just had a minor technical difficulty there, and it's okay, but it's so true in the name of Jesus how God takes us from revelation to revelation, and every round goes higher and higher in the name of Jesus as dealing unto us the various levels of maturity that gives us over the course of time in the name of Jesus. My wife, she was going through a tunnel, something along those lines, but kind of lost transmission. Yet, that's what we're here for. We are joined together in the name of Jesus. And when I'm weak, she's strong. When she's weak, I'm strong. So we have the back of each other. So until she probably returns back to a studio, I'm going to continue forth acknowledging the fact that God brings us and feeds us, you know, in bits, and as we get a bit here, we get a bit there, and each bit we get goes higher and higher, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and then a little bit more each and every time. So this is one of those points where God, understandably speaking, as the living word, becomes alive in us as the word of God is alive. We read on that in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, where it speaks on, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And that very word was made flesh to sit down and dwell among us. And we know that that word was God, and the flesh was Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And all that is one. And we understand that God needs the body, and that body was in the man of Jesus Christ. Well, again, we thank you in Jesus' name for joining us here on today, speaking on the Godhead. We do ask that you go into our archives and be blessed and support and give this opportunity for the entirety of the message and teaching to go forth, because it gets better each and every time. This is a very we thank God for those joining us here on today, in the name of Jesus, and we pray that until we meet again, continue to just support us by just hearing in and share with what it is that we do here at Monument of Hope and Deliverance. And as we bring the word of God, we know that God is an awesome God, and he is an on-time God, and he will not allow us to suffer too long. He will not allow us to be burdened too long without giving us a way of escape. And with that, we want to acknowledge in the name of Jesus to let you know that just through it all, just smile, because God is in the name of Jesus. God bless you until we meet again. Smile.
Depression and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day. There is no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up.
Bet I'm gonna be when this is over.
You look so much better when you smile.
whatever you're in right now. People say,
oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, oh,
and while you waiting,
you look so much better when you're,
yeah,
oh, oh,
and while you praying,
you look so much better when you're, oh,
look in the mirror,
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh,
always remember,
you look so much better when you're.
Again, we want to thank you for joining us here on today as we speak on the tough subject of the Godhead. Praise God. We've gone through speaking on the book of Deuteronomy, and in the name of Jesus, we spoke about how Jesus Christ is God, and how we recognize that they are one, and they're not three, they're one. And we've gone through several courses of scriptures that have explained that precisely. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to the Father is through in the name of Jesus, that he is who he is, God in the flesh. Again, we thank you for joining us here today. And we ask that you be richly blessed, as this is it. My Kirk Franklin plays this out. God bless you. Join us for prayer in the morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Call in 744-220-4000. And join us in our corporate prayer. Again, God bless you. Meet us every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 o'clock as we speak about the Godhead. And every Wednesday and Friday, we speak on The Destiny by Bishop T.D. Jakes. So join us as we continue to move forward working daily in the ministry for our Lord. God bless you.